Good morning. Today's staff is Neva Kofi Gimel. And we were holding in the middle of the sugya of machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about the nature of Ish. So we had, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Ish Mishum Chitzav. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, that means that there would be all types of chiyuvim that could come through Ish, which would be the equivalent of an Adam actually doing the damage himself, even to the point at which would be Chayiv Misa, in the case of an Eved Kafut for lighting a fire. Whereas according to Rish Lakish, that would be possible only if you actually lit the Eved person, actually burned his body.
So this is not Roma.
Well, there could be, as we'll see. Let's let this circuit develop. There could also be Roma. And according to Rish Lakish, Eish is simply another form of Momon Hamazik. And again, as we said yesterday, this is a simplistic version, that there's two completely different ways of looking at Eish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you cannot call something a Momon Hamazik when it doesn't have any tangibility. It's not called Momon. According to Rish Lakish, you can't consider this to be something that is despite the fact that actually yesterday we brought a raya from the Pasuk. The Pasuk itself seems to be discussing an Ish, excuse me, that's Yotzei Mi'atzmo, Kitetzei Ish, and we use the person as a Mavras of the era. But it's impossible to view this as chitzim because, after all, says Rish Lakish, the nature of a chitz is that it includes your energy, not a groma of energy, as Yaakov has pointed out. I mean, Ish, you light a fire, but it's certainly, it's not containing anything in it. It doesn't contain the energy that you put into it. How do you, by any stretch of the imagination, view that as the equivalent of something that you fire? So firing an arrow or firing a bullet, even though we use the word fire even in English for the same idea, which is fascinating, it's nonetheless not possible to call it Eish, Tainas Rish Lakish. So today, we want to look into a little bit further, just from the theoretical point of view. And we're holding on the second line, Omar Rava, Kasha Lele Abaye. Abaye was always wondering about, just theoretically, how this works out. I mean, according to Mandi Omar, who holds that Eisho is Mishum Chitzav, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, we know there's dinim that are miyuchadim to the concept of Eish Hamazik. What about Tomun? I mean, Tomun is a halacha, as we spoke about earlier briefly, that if something isn't on the open, so it's not the V'achal Kama and so on, then there's a Gzeres HaKosov, that despite the fact that you had very valuable things hidden inside of your Gadish, you're not chayev on the hidden things. You're only chayev on what appears to be there on the surface. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, if we're talking about a guy who's basically took a machine gun and shot up a Gadish, what's an afkamino? What's what he sees is inside. So chayev for whatever damages he causes. We certainly can't say there's a new din of Tumah on one particular form of an Adam HaMazik with one type of chitzit. It's absurd. So Tumah B'Yesh, the Potter of Manegah B'Shkacha. So where would there be the Midin Yuchadim for Eish? The Nechalei, and he worked it out, but there are profound implications to the way he worked it out, because he worked it out by saying, so what happened over here is that his fire spreads now within one chatzer, which was protected by a firewall from the next chatzer. But what happened was that during the fire, the wall collapses. The naflaga there. So now at that point, you can no longer say that it's this man's chitzim, because the moment that there was a wall there, if I were shooting my gun at a target against the wall, between the time that I pull the trigger and the bullet reaches the target, somebody blows up the wall and the bullet comes straight through and kills somebody in other shots, I'm not responsible because my chitzim ended at the wall. So over here too, at the time I lit the fire, my chitzim ended at the firewall. Now the firewall is no longer there, and holchavid likav izikav chotzer acharas. At this point, it goes out and it damages in the next chotzer down. Probably should say halcha hadleika, not vidleika, because it doesn't really make any sense. So the dleika now goes into the next chotzer. The hatam, in that particular case, we have a kol lechitzav. His arrows were completed. It was at the point where the wall was. His arrows now ended. Anything beyond that is basically now no longer his chitzim. And in a sense, is the Gemara. So, if that's the case, then it's no longer as Eish either. If you hold Eish is Mishum Chitzav, like Rabbi Yochanan holds, so then at the moment that there's no longer any Chitzin, there's no longer any Eish. So I don't understand. How did you help? What you did was, as you say, there's no longer Chiyav of Tamun. There's no longer Chiyav on anything. Forget about a Chiyav of Tamun. There's no longer any Eish. So Yachilin and Gilin Ami Kadol Chitzav. So what's an afkamino, whether it's hidden or whether it's in the open? Basically, the Eish is all over, correct? Therefore, says the Gemara, Well, what I have to say is, Ela leman de itle mishum chitzav, itle nami mishum momono. The point over here is that it's not that he's saying there's only a din of esha mishum chitzav. There's also a din of momono. And that would mean that the moment that we don't have any direct chitzim, at that point we still have a chiyav of momono mazik. And Rabbi Yochanan, what we thought before is that there's no such thing as a concept of momono mazik that is intangible. That was a bit simplistic. There is such a concept. However, since the way that the Torah was masber, the whole concept of H is that there's two levels. There's a kitetzei H, which is a passive thing, which means it's my moment. The H itself is real, so. That there are times in which I'm a mavir et habeira because it's also my chitzim. This is the way Rashi and Tosfos understand it, that there are two levels of the chiyav of H. The Gemara maintains its original approach. That is to say that there is such a thing as chitzim. However, if you have a firewall, it would be kolomo chitzav. At that point, kicks in the other element of esh, which is the kitetzei esh, which is the esh or mishum momono. But that would mean that the Gemara is now turning its back on the original svara in Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, what we thought was an impossibility, that there should be an intangible mazik, is actually true. It's just that that is one level and only one level of esh. However, as the Gemara points out over here, the Rambam and the Rif do not understand the sugya now in that fashion at all. They understand that basically we stick with everything that we've said. And what we said until now about there being two different cases, there was a firewall and so on, this is a conceptual issue. It's not that there's two separate levels of esh. It's that what we now understand, that the Man Yomar who holds esh v'shum chitzav agrees that esh is v'shum amono, doesn't mean there's another esh which is v'shum amono. It means that the way to understand Rabbi Yochanan's chiyav of chitzim, despite the fact that obviously this particular chitz does not include any energy that you imparted to it, is that it's not that there's a din of a normal Adam Hamazi. It's that the chiddush of the din of the momon of esh is that we view it as if you yourself actually were responsible, as if it were your chitzim. Since the pasuk says abavir ta be'ira, obviously it's not truly Adam Hamazi, but the chiddush of esh is that we extend chiyuvim of Adam into your momon Hamazi. That's the point. So that now, basically, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, we end up with an understanding that, of course, the din of Esh HaMazik is a new chiyav of Momon HaMazik, but the Torah was machadesh to view it as if it has the implications of being your arrows. Now, this is extremely important. Don't fall asleep for this. Don't fall asleep. Wait a few minutes.
I'm awake.
Really? Wow. This is great. But this is not really so good, because now he's going to have all kinds of questions. He's going to tear apart everything. I said, when he's awake, he's dangerous. We only survive here because he sleeps. So now, look how beautifully the sugya develops the difference between Rashi's approach and Rambam's approach. The next question, actually, let's just see it inside. I said over the outside. Ella, leman di itle mishum chitzav, itle nami mishum momono. The one man di Omar Rabbi Yochanan who holds esh mishum chitzav, according to Rashi, tells us the next words mean. Also agrees that there's a level of esh that's called momon hamazik, and where would you be chayev? You'd be chayev where you should have put up a wall, or you should have, according to Rashi, refixed the wall. Because according to Rashi, we're talking about the same case. And the case up until the firewall is a chiyav of chitzim, and from the firewall on remains a chiyav of momon. So you'll say, why does it remain a chiyav of momon if there was a wall there? Because I still had an opportunity to put up a barrier against the fire, and I didn't. So therefore, I was negligent with my age. So now I'm chayev because of momon, even though kololo chitzav. And at this point, it becomes a shor. And it's a shor velo tafach be'ape. It's a shor that I didn't bother closing the door in front of. And therefore, I'm not chayev. Now look at this question, which according to Rashi and Tosfos makes no sense. And according to the Rambam and the Rif, makes fantastic sense. Es the Gemara, the Chimi Acher, the man the Itlei Eishu Mishum Chitzav, Itlei Nami Mishum Momono, my Benayu. So if you're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Eishu Mishum Chitzav, but he also holds Eishu Mishum Momono, so then if that's the case, what is the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Now this is an absolutely mad question, according to Rashi Tosfos. We just had an entire page of differences between them. Those differences are not canceled now. But because we found this weird case where Kol Lochitza, and now the wall falls down, and you could have rebuilt the wall in time, and turned on the fire extinguisher, so therefore you're responsible. So now we say, so now there's no difference. What do you mean there's no difference? There were 10 differences. The question of whether you're going to be chayiv if you kill the Eved, and the question is where you pay Nezik Shalem, where you pay Chatzin Nezik, do you pay on the Gaddish, do you not pay on the Gaddish, is it considered to be Tzroros, can a dog have an age? I mean, what kind of crazy question is this? According to Rambam, it makes great sense. As the Rambam is saying, we're now redefining what we meant by Eshom Mishum Chitza. We're saying Eshom Mishum Chitza is also Chiyam Mamon. That's the meaning of Nami Itlai Eshom Mishum Mamono. It's just that what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, we were absolutely correct. Rabbi Yochanan says there's no such thing as an intangible Mamon Amazik. What that means is there's no such thing as an intangible entity of Mamon Amazik. But we can certainly create a concept of Mamon Amazik, which is your arrows, which we now view as being not you literally, obviously, but a new chiyuv of mammon, which is your arrows. So says the Gemara, so that, what is it? If it's a semantic argument. You who say Eshom Mishum Chitza agree that it's really only chitza because it's mamono. So what the heck is the difference? You're also saying it's only a chiyuv of mammon amazik. So now it's not really chitza. It's a wherever the Torah said you're chayev, but not in the case of tamon. I mean, it doesn't mean literally it's your arrows. It's saying what is the mode by which the chiyuv comes to you. It comes to you through a mode which would be similar to your shooting something. Fine, but only where I say so. I mean, where it's tamun, then not. That's how we're understanding. We have charata now from the teretz that we said, this crazy case, there's a wall, and then the wall fell down, you're going to rebuild the wall. That's not the case. Every case of eish is always mishum chitzav, only in theory. That once it's moment amazik, the mode by which this moment amazik is chayev is by viewing it as an extended idea of chitzim. But of course, all the Gidorim and definitions of Eish define when we will be Mekayev for Chitzim. Says the Gemara, then all the things that we said before are now hereby canceled. Because, I mean, if a dog doesn't have Eish, then a dog doesn't have Chitzim, because that's not really Chitzim. If this is not viewed as real Chitzim, it's not going to be Mekayev Yumisa, is it? Et cetera, et cetera. All the things that we took for granted would be the difference between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are no longer the differences. So if that's the case, my Benayim, so what's the difference? It's just semantics. Says the Gemara, no, there is indeed a difference in the tashlumim. What is the difference in the tashlumim, says the Gemara? It might be nayim. Ike b'nayim l'chayvo b'arba'a devarim. The question over here is whether you'll be chayev only the way we found up until this point. Momon hamazik, put it over there on the sill. Momon hamazik never shared anything with Adam but the chayev unnezik. When it comes to the need to pay medical bills or for the causing you to lose your work or for the pain that's involved, you don't have to pay for Momon Amazik. When it comes to Adam, you do have to pay. Although, albeit for embarrassment, we can't consider this to be an embarrassment where you didn't do anything. So forget about bullshit, but there's four things, and normally a Amazik pays one thing, not four things. Adam Amazik pays five things. It includes bullshit. Is that a difference? It makes a difference. So the difference is, l'chayvo b'arba dvarim. Once the Torah is telling you that you are considered to be the mavir et habeira, so now that means that for every eish, you will have a new type of chiyuv, says Rabbi Yochanan. Look at the way the pasuk puts it, and I'll explain to you theoretically why it puts it like that. Do you really believe that an intangible entity exists? We suddenly believe in ghosts that are mazik? That's not the point. The point is the Torah is extending the chiyuv of Adam into a new idea in which things that are just pure energy that you release are considered to be the equivalent of Momon Amazik. But the way that they work is through the chiyuvim that come from your releasing. When it comes to Momon, pure Momon Amazik, we look at the entity itself rather than its relationship to you in terms of defining the hazik. The tremendous nafkamina will be whether you'll be chayiv and sar and sheves and ribui. That's the nafkamina. And that indeed is a massive nafkamina. But now, all of the things that we previously suggested as nafkaminas are no longer necessarily true. So this is now how Abaye resolved the issue of how it's possible for there to be unique din on Eish, which would not apply if it were truly your chitzim. So we have two approaches. Either by creating a mad case where there are no chitzim, and all you're left is with a different element of Eish, which is Momon Amazik, or the far more conceptually satisfying, a sugya satisfying approach of the Rif and the Rambam, that the Gemara is being consistent all the way through, has not changed any of its assumptions, other than recognizing that it was rather simplistic to think that the chiyuv of Eish would be an extension of the din of Mammon of Adam Mammon. Of course, that's not what Rabbi Yochanan meant. He meant Bishum Mammon, but he's just talking about the mechanism of the Mammon, that's all. So then indeed, the Nafkamina is only Arba Advarim. Brilliant. According to Rashi, Tos is the only, what are you saying, the only place where it's Mishum Mammon is in a case of Kololo Kitzav.
Right, that's what the is.
Yeah, but there's a million Nafkaminas. These four don't really stand for any particular thing over here.
Right, it's at least in this particular case. Yeah, this extra
No, no, not true. There's nothing unique about this case other than the fact that part of it is chitzim and the other part is mamon. The part that's mamon, you won't be chayav arba advarim. That's the problem. The sugya really isn't saying anything according to Rashi Tosafot about this last piece. It's asking a nafkamina that we know hundreds of nafkaminas until now, and all of a sudden, oh, is there another nafkamina? Like, what? Nothing changed that you're asking for chimea now that it's the same. Isn't it the same? No. In 99.9 cases, it's a percent of cases, it's going to be exactly what the difference is that we thought until now. I mean, it's a stunning problem in the circuit, the way Rashi does his learning. You can just sweep this under the carpet. All right. Continues now the Mishnah to say, so now when the Kelev takes the Harara, burns down the Gadish, so now what's the din? That on the Harara is Meshalim Nezek Shalem, and on the Gadish is Meshalim Chatzin Nezek. And we originally explained that as an afkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether Esher Bishum Chitzav, is this considered to be Tzorot, or is it talking about the Mokol Megacheles and he threw it, so it's Tzorot, or he did something Meshuneh, the way Reish Lakish was learning, but not really on the whole Gadish. And of course, that could all change if we accept one of the Pshatim that we said until now and the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But in any event, why, asks the Gemara, is the Baal HaKelev the only one that has to deal with the payment for burning down the silo? You're saying Chayev. Pays Chatzin Nezek. So Man Chayev Baal HaKelev. Obviously because the owner of the Eish, there's no such thing as a Chatzin Nezek. Either you're Chayev or you're Potter. But, I mean, if the case over here is that this guy left the fire in a way that a Kelev was able to get it and move it around, so then he didn't watch his fire. So then why isn't he chayev for the rest of it? In the same place, wherever you have two people that are... A lion sleeps tonight. He's not afraid. He's never seen what happens. You know, maybe he's sort of like the Hamas, proclaiming victory even after it's over.
We should barbecue.
Incredible.
Huh? We should
barbecue. Barbecue him.
No,
Aaron, welcome to the world of the living. I thought Ovid Levi was good. This guy turns him into an amateur. Ah, finally got a movement here. So now the question is, where you've got two participants in damage. If one only pays chatzinezek, then the other one takes up the slack. So let the Balag Achelos, who didn't watch his gachelos, let him pay. He says, well, of course he watched his gachelos. Why would you say he didn't watch his gachelos? B'shishimer gachalto? Wait a minute. B'shishimer gachalto? What do you mean he watched his gachelos? So how did the Kelev manage to get the Harara if he watched his Gachelet? So my boy Kelevata, what's the dog doing there if supposedly he watched the Gachelet? I mean, Ella, what are we talking about? We're talking about now that he was Meshudeh? So then everything changes now. That's the case when we're talking about Karen. There's no Chiyuv on the Eish at all. Well, no, actually what happened is the dog dug under the door. But he had actually watched his Gachelet. Now, the question is, of course, as Tosis points out, but if he had watched his gachelet and the dog dug under the door, and now you're telling me that's why he's potter in his gachelet. I mean, why didn't we say that let the Baal HaKelev be potter from eating the charara because he obviously had left open the opportunity for the kelev to eat it? So, I mean, it doesn't work in both directions.
Good shear or not shear?
Yeah, I mean, was this actually a place where it was shomer for animals, or wasn't shomer? So first of all, says Rav Mori Bereder of Kana Zotomerat, you see from here, that stam b'latot chaturot ein etzel kelev. What you see over here is that a door is considered to be something that is normal for the kelev to dig under, because otherwise you should say, this is caring. But this dog is mad, so why are you paying? It says, ala karara mishalim nezek shalim. I'm mishunah, you're not mishalim nezek shalim. So you're telling me I managed to dig something up, so you're an insane dog. So as an insane dog, you should only pay chatzinezik if it's keren. So obviously it's not keren. Okay, so if that's the case, we have to say that it's considered to be normal behavior. But of course, if it's considered to be normal behavior, then why are you saying that he was shomer gechalto? So then that means that it can be dug up. So you say you close the door, but the dog can still dig under it. So apparently, as Tosis points out, there are different levels of shmirah that kick in for different elements of chiyuvim. Number one says chiyuvim. In other words, number one, you see from over here that we expect you to be more shomer, that something should not go out and damage something else, then we are mechayev you to be shomer yourself from being caused damages too. Furthermore, we talk about kishishimer gechalato over here, even though zotot hachaturot, what we mean is the amount of shmira that you're supposed to be shomer is what is considered to be normal. In other words, most people, if they close the door, even though they know that on a rare occasion a dog can crawl under the door, it won't be called mishuna, they don't build concrete mechitzas down 20 feet to prevent klavim from being caught there. So this is normal shmira, not Zir Philadelphia. Okay, so then that means that that's sufficient in terms of the chiyuvim. Now, I have another question. Okay, the achlahecha. Where exactly did the dog eat this piece of bread? It takes it burnt out of Gadish. In other words, it went away from the place where it took the Charora, which was the Chatzar Nizek, went to some other guy's Gadish and burnt down that Gadish. Is that it? But I thought we need Ubier Visteacher. Now over here, the Charora that was being eaten was not being eaten in the Rishus of the individual whose Charora it was. So why isn't that Ubier Visteacher? How do you consider that Ubir B'steacher V'leka? Answers the Gemara. I'll get to explain this in a moment. It's talking about over here that he actually ate it in the Rishus of the Bala Harara, who is also the owner of the Gadish. We thought that it was talking about over here three different people, the Bala Kelev, the Bala Harara, and the Bala HaGadish. But actually, the Bala Harara and the Bala Gadish could be the same individual. Okay, fine. But then, and this sounds crazy, the whole conversation sounds a bit crazy. Because, I mean, obviously what you're thinking is, what the heck's the difference where it ate it? I mean, what's important is where it was when it took it to eat, no? But what do I care where it ate it? You're telling me, if I go ahead into your Rishus, take your stuff, move back into Rishus HaRabim, so now you'll tell me it's shame Rishus HaRabim because you're not being Ubiyah B'steyacher. So, I mean, before we were even concerned about the question of Midgalgal. And now we're saying, hey, you can actually go there and move it out? Take it? You're not chayav on the taking of it? But it gets worse. Tifshot, says the Gemara, so can we say from here the question that we have of what is the din of the mouth of the animal? Is the pi para, the mouth of the animal itself, is it considered to be the chotzer hanizik, or is it considered to be the chotzer hamazik? Because, I mean, since your food is in the mouth of my animal, I say to you, what the heck is your food doing in my animal's mouth? I'm certainly not going to pay you for that. It shouldn't have been in your mouth, in its mouth. She said, what do you mean? Your animal took it. Ah, but I mean, we're all agreed that taking it is not the issue. I mean, you said if I move somewhere else with it, I'm not chayav on the taking. So if that's the case, I'd only be chayav on it because of the eating. But if the mouth of the animal is also not called the Ubiyah B'steyacher, and it's my own rishus, so I'll just turn to you and I'll say, what is your food doing in my animal's mouth? I shouldn't be responsible if you're so stupid as to have your food in my animal's mouth. So therefore, what is your bread doing in my dog's mouth? Because after all, we did have a standing question, which we can now resolve. How do you view the mouth of the para? So think about it. This is mad. What do you mean? If you're, but that's crazy. If you can always tell a person, what's your food doing in the mouth of my animal, so then you'll never be chayav. I'm shame. So how do you understand the case that's given in the Torah? Omer of Moed, Raider of Kana, Ein Achinami, will have to say that shame in the Torah, remember, it never says anything about shame. It just says, V'yarabasteacher. Maybe the actual model for damages of shame is rubbing your back on a wall and breaking down the wall. So there, over there, there's nothing that came into my rishus. Because indeed, the mouth of the parah was shut tight, and its back doesn't contain anything. So that could be a case, or king fa perot anata, rolling around in the middle of a bunch of peros rubbing its back and enjoying the wallowing effect. Mmm, those nice squishy bananas. Mmm, yum, 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 yum. Of course, you don't eat any of them. So, yeah, it's basically a nice milk bath for the animal, you know, Cleopatra. And so he likes bananas, mangoes. All right, but meanwhile, he moons the peyote. Maybe. This includes your question. Is it the whole point of calling the model Shane based on the pasuk of Agalal? The whole point is ad tumo, which means that the nezek that is done actually consumes the object and nothing is left. Yeah, now you're saying you damaged it, but that's not sufficient to fit the model. I mean, the model has still got to be Shane. There's models that are abstractly like Shane. Nobody mentioned that on this wall there was originally a picture that was called the Mona Lisa. Now, this animal had a lot of fun rubbing up against the Mona Lisa.
That's what she said.
Which now no longer exists. That's a little bit damaging, and it's Michalia Karna. There's nothing left of the poor Mona Lisa. Nothing but little paint fragments that we could put in our spectrograph to figure out what time the picture was made. That ain't going to help very much. That's Michalia Karna. Or if you're talking about the other, so that could be Ravino Medeshaft Salmi. It just completely breaks down the beautiful picture that you had. And Ravashi says, well, if we're talking about the case of the banana bath, it could be talking about the Pasi Pisui. You squish the bananas into the ground. You're not just batonic them. So now they're worth nothing. Okay, now obviously this whole story is completely maddening. I mean, all of the cases that we had until now, every mission, I mean, all of a sudden we decided to raise the question, this is nuts. What happened over here? I mean, what about all the cases we had before about Sidi Arachava, about Gilgal, about turning its head, about... None of this is relevant anymore, all of a sudden, you're saying. Because we're talking about, we really have a question about whether Pete Park or Chatzar HaMazik, though. It never occurred to us to find a case like this before. So Tosfos says, look, the case that the Gemara was referring to, of course, is not the classic case of Ish. The case the Gemara is referring to when it asks Pete Park or Chatzar HaMazik, is in a case where someone... not responsible. Let's say a cheres shaita v'katan takes food and places it into the mouth of your animal. Now that's my question. So over there, I can't be mechayev the cheres. Is my animal an eating machine? So that if something is put into it, basically the person who puts it into it has destroyed the food. Then we're going to say that's called a b'yavistei acher. He's eating. All he's doing is he's eating. I mean, it's irrelevant to where it comes from. Somebody put it into his mouth. So is that called a b'yavistei? Now that's a perfectly valid question. Is chewing considered to be a b'yavistei acher? Because I didn't go anywhere. This guy went ahead and put it into my mouth. I was minding my own business. I mean, not that I can complain, you know, but still, you can't be mechayev of me. That was the question. The only thing that suddenly raised it over here, says Tosfos, was nothing in the Mishnah. It's just the way that the sugya discussed it. That's what bothered me over here. Because why, says Tosfos, the Gemara is thinking to itself, wait a minute, what kind of crazy thing is this? So Mori Bereder of Kahana, we come out, we bring this riot at Stam Latot, and then all of a sudden we say, why are we asking where did it eat it? What do you mean, where did it eat it? Who cares where you ate it? This is the first time that a sugya has raised this issue, says Tosfos. That's what the Gemara is saying. All of a sudden you're concerned, where did it eat it? Instead of, where did it take it from to eat? Isn't that the issue? Ooh. So if, indeed, you're willing to entertain the notion, says the Gemara, that there's a gzerat hakatuv, that for taking, there's no chiyev at all. The only chiyev is for moving your mouth. That's the chiyev. So now we have to understand, where is your mouth moving? If that's the question, so then the standing issue that we had, which was a normal thing, where if somebody now puts food into the mouth of an animal, whether the animal is still responsible because it's considered to be chatzar hanezek, this has profound implications for that case. In which case, says Tosfos, but then obviously, why would the Gemara ask something so silly as, so where would you ever be chayev for Shane? What do you mean? If you took it and ate it, obviously you would be chayev. I mean, this is a rather strange case where somebody irresponsible comes along and puts the food in the mouth of the animal. Why would the Gemara say, so how could there be a chayev of Shane? Of course there's a chayev of Shane, where the animal walks into the other guy's rishus, takes it himself and eats it. There was no havam in it to say you would be potter. Why would we view the mouth of the animal as a different place? Of course, that's true. The only thing that the Gemara was asking about at this point was semantics. If you're telling me that the nature of shame, there's a gzeres hakosov that it actually refers to the pure thing of shame, is achila in the reshus of the nizik, But the mouth of the Torah theoretically is not reshusa than this. So then why does the Torah use the words ubir b'stei acher as the essence of shame? If you can never be mevayer b'stei acher, you're only really chayav because you took it b'stei acher and ate it. So then why is the Torah saying ubir b'stei acher if you really understand this to be the meaning of shame? But that's the question. It's not questioning the how would you be chayav? Of course you'd be chayav. But how would we call that shame ubir b'stei acher? That was the Gemara's question. Because the pashtus of the sugya and the pasuk is mashma. That for the pure beer to stay akher, you're chayav. But if the people is to shush a mazik, so then how would it ever be a beer to stay akher? For which the Gemara is looking for crazy cases to define the model of a beer to stay akher, not to define the case of a beer to stay akher. Says the Gemara, let's now try to bring a raya about this question of the people. She saw bo'at akelef. Somebody sicks a dog on someone. Or she saw bo'at anachash. Patur. Now, the Pashtus, the Gemara, assumes that the way in which you sick the dog is irrelevant. In other words, you could stick the guy's hand into the dog's mouth. I mean, that could also be sicking a dog, right? So then it would turn out to be the same case as the original question. The Chayrish to the cotton that puts the food into the mouth. Over here, you put a guy's hand into the mouth of a dog or into the mouth of a snake. Poisonous, of course. Potter. Now, when it says over here, you're potter, who is the one that's potter? Man potur. Potura mishase v'chayav v'ala kelev. Doesn't say that af the mishase is potter. Saying the one who is mishase is potter. Which is mashma that the bala kelev or the bala nachash would be chayev. But if you're telling me that the peh of your kelev is considered to be the chotzer of the mazik, which is you, so yamer kechotzer mazik damu, why can't the owner of the dog say to the owner of the hand, what is your hand doing in my poor Rottweiler's mouth? So my butt chaboy yotcha, but pum in a cowboy. How did your hand get into my dog's mouth? Well, maybe in Achinami. Maybe when it says potter over here, it doesn't mean only the sicker is potter. Maybe it should say ema potter af amishase. The sicker is also potter. Meaning, but the owner of the dog is certainly potter because he indeed can say, how did your hand get into my dog's mouth? The ebite ema, or maybe we were wrong. I mean, maybe the case over here was not that the dog actually had the hand in its mouth, but rather the afkele nive visarte, that it used its canines to rip open the guy's hands, but it never put the hand in its actual mouth, and that would be similar. Obviously, what we could have said is that when it says sick a dog, it just means sick a dog, not that you actually put the hand anywhere, and the dog himself went and took the hand after getting all outraged by the guy saying, sick him, you know. But since our initial assumption was that to be Meshasa Kelev would even include going all the way like this, says, we didn't want to give that answer that it's only referring to me. There's no reason for us to change our mind. So we're pointing out that there are ways in which a dog can rip up a hand without necessarily taking it into its mouth. Toshma, Hishik bo'et anachash, somebody who now takes a nachash, and he puts now the teeth of the nachash, he puts now that mouth, open mouth, on a guy's hand, and the guy dies. So Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev of him, just like shooting. What's left to mean if you use a nachash, or the KGB does, or you just shoot the guy the way the poor Americans do, you know. So, I mean, either way, you know, less creativity, but it works. I mean, they're both the same thing. So Rav Yehuda says, you're chayav. And the Chachomim say, you're potter. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov points out, I mean, kishatimtzo, if you think about it, what's happening over here is that we are looking at two different physiological ways of viewing a nachash. In other words, according to Rav Yehuda, he views the nachash as being an automatic injector machine. So that the Eretz Nachash Ben Shinavu Omeid, for all intents and purposes, the poison of the nachash is injected when you inject the teeth into the person. And therefore, what you did is you injected poison into this guy, and that is a mode of murder, just like injecting a bullet through his heart. Whereas, according to the Chachamim, so therefore, the Fichach Makish Besayev, the nachash patur, I mean, the nachash didn't do anything. The nachash is passive. And the guy who used the nachash as a weapon, he's a murderer. So he's Chayev Misa Besayev. Whereas, according to the Chachamim, we require an act of volition on the point of the nachash to inject the poison. So the poison is stored in a sac, the muscles contract, and the poison is injected. There's no way for me to do anything but put the needle into the guy's flesh, but somebody's going to press the plunger. The only one who can press the plunger is the nachash, but that doesn't happen automatically the moment that I put the teeth into the... It's not a reflex action, which means it's all the same. And therefore, the nachash, according to the Chachomim, the nachash is responsible. So the eres nachash me'atzmo meki, the poison of the nachash is injected by an act of volition on the part of the nachash. Lefichach nachash b'schila. So it's the nachash that has to be taken to court over here. And the makish is patur, because all he did was make things easier for the nachash. No. If, however, you're saying that the nachash's mouth is the equivalent of your own rishus, the owner's rishus, what was your hand doing in my poor nachash's mouth? So my nachash, remember that a nachash out there in the field that kills somebody is not chayev skila, like a shorter. It just doesn't belong to anybody. It has to be there's a baalim, gan baalav yuman. We may kill any mazik, that's something else. It's for removal of the mazik. We don't take him to court, we don't bring witnesses, we don't give him skila, we just shoot him or whatever. Yeah, that's right. Anything you say may be held against you in a court of law, and so on and so forth.
So.
They're after, that's right. They're on. So le'inik talalah amrina. And says the Gemara, because when it comes to cases of murder, we would not say this halakha, that it's considered to be the rishus of the mazik. It's irrelevant. This element, legabe kitala, does not apply. So we don't say my boy yotcha. Even if you hold it is kechatzar mazik, we would still say your chayev skila. It's only in terms of nezikin that such a halakha is true. How do you know that, says the Gemara? Is that so obvious? You know, Tamer. I'll prove it to you. To tell you, anichnasa chatzer ba'alabayt shel rishus. You go in somebody's yard without permission, and the shor of the balabayit goes ahead now and gores the intruder and kills him. Umate hashor b'skila. So in terms of the key of skila, there's still a key of skila, even though the guy invaded the rishus he had no right to be. But in terms of the chiyuvim of mamon, such as kofar, habaalim p'turim and kofar. So why are the Baalim Pturim in our kofar? Obviously, my time, I'm never shooting my bayita. What was this guy doing in my yard? He had no right to come in here. So then why not say the same thing to Shor? I can also claim in court, this guy had no business being here and I had every right to gore him. Why should only the Baalim be Pater? I should also be Pater. So why can't the Shor say that? My bayita b'shuti, of course he doesn't accept the fact that it's the owner's rishus. As far as he's concerned, the owner is only there in order to provide him with food. So what were you doing in my front yard, says the Shor? So clearly, in Ketala, when it comes to cases of murder, we don't say, well, so therefore I killed him. You got therefore I killed him. What is this? The Arkansas? So you can't say I killed him. That's the pshat. Lo amrina. No, say nothing on me, unless he was coming to steal or something, and it was, you know, that's the special cases of the Baba Machteret, but that's not the case there. He was just walking there. How do easy to be Tarbut? I mean, Masadel Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef had a neighbor called the Beit Tarbu family, and their goats used to come into Rabbi Yosef for shoes all the time and cause damage. So he told Abaya, look, go warn the owner. Then tell them they better start taking care of Litzna'inu. Let them remain in his area, or I'm going to take action. Says Abaya to him, Amayizu, why should I go? I know what they're going to say. If I go, they'll say, why don't you tell the rabbi to make a nice fence around his rishus? Why do we have to watch our animals? I'm really, they're going to tell me, Ligdar Margadira Bihare? Says the Gemara, but does that really make sense? I mean, Igadar, Shendachiavach Mashkachasma. I understand. If you're telling me that I'm responsible to take precautions against animals entering into my rishus, and if I don't, then I'm chayev. So I mean, I'm responsible for my own laws. So then I understand. So where's the term chayev mishen? Well, this doesn't make any sense. If I made the thing, so then the animal, that's not shein anymore. I mean, obviously it was watched to negate the animal. And if I didn't, then I'm responsible. So where would be the case? So, I gadar, if you need shein, dechayev v'chmenech mishkachasla. Well, we said, kishachatra, we said if it maybe digs under. So if you have a pet dog, I did what I normal people normally do. They close the gate. If a dog digs under, so he's going to be chayev. Inami did not for good of a lilia, or maybe the wall falls down in the middle of the night. Maybe that's what it's talking about. Now, Tosis points out that this whole thing is ridiculous. We're not seriously entertaining this. Abaye did not want to go. He didn't want to get into a fight with these guys. They were sort of big and dangerous looking. So he was the one that was making up these things, right? So he didn't feel like getting involved with them. So as far as the normal halacha we're concerned, we would never say such a thing. So he simply didn't want to go there. But, I mean, otherwise it doesn't make sense. All the cases we had before, as Tosfos points out, we said if he eats mipetach hachanut, obviously the chanut wasn't locked. I mean, the chanut, the door is open and wants people to come in. So you're going to say, well, you want people to come in, you have to expect that the shor will come in too? I don't expect that the shor will come in. And indeed, I'm responsible. This is the Farish and the Mishnah. I mean, how would we think that you need to be the one that's responsible for keeping animals out of your rishus? Is that the whole point of shor being part of rishus harabim and chayav rishus hanizek? So all that was happening over here was a bayim making up reasons for why he shouldn't bother going. But we certainly don't paskin like what a bayim was saying. And now the final case that we have over here is Macharis Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef came up, this has nothing to do with the previous case. Rav Yosef proclaimed, to make sure everybody knows, or some say, it was Rabba. Attention! Those of you who are Salkin Leila, those of you who are going up to learn in Eretz Yisrael, or those of you on your way back, the Nachtin Letachta, those of you who are coming down into hell over here in the valley, the deal is, you've got to know, that Hani Easy Deshuka, there are often animals that are left in the Rosh Hashanah because of the fact that they only do Shechita on Thursdays to get things ready for Shabbos. Meanwhile, the butcher shops are full of these things, and they let them cause damage, despite the fact that people obviously can go to court and can recover their damage. But the din of allowing your animal in Rosh Hashanah is not a blanket right that anybody has. It's a right that's given to people who use the Rosh Hashanah for the things that Rosh Hashanah is normally used for, which is driving down the street. These butcheries that want to keep the animals there for their convenience so that they should only have to check at a time that they're going to have more buyers and can get a better price, that's not a normal usage of Rosh Hashanah. I'm very sorry. So if, in fact, these guys go out and damage, then what we do is matrina, honey, is it a shuka demavsi, the matrina memorai, we warn the owners two or three times that they better take care of them and not allow them to walk around. Each side, each side. If they pay attention, fine. The ilo, and if not, then we forcibly, amrinle, tiva mesachta, sit down at your butcher shop and get whatever money you can, because we're forcing you to shech them. So you can't use Rosh Hashanah arbitrarily just for your own benefit. Omar Rava Kashle Labaye, Lamanti Omar Esha Mishub Chitzav, Tabun Zesh Tepatrach Menech Meshkachasla, Benechale, Kigon, Shenaflad Leka, Lotor Chatzer, Venafla Gader Shalom Machmat Leka, Valchad Leka Vizik Bechotzer Acheret. The Hatam Kolu Lechitzav, Yochlini Gilui Nami Kolu Lechitzav, Leman Di Itle Mishum Chitzav, Itle Nami Mishum Momono, Kigon Shayalo Legodra, Velo Gidra, The Hatam Shorohu Velo Tovach Beyafi, Vechmiachad Man Di Itle Mishum Chitzav, Itle Nami Mishum Momono, Mai Beinayu, Ike Beinayu Lechai, Vobi Arba Adivarim. Allah harara mishal nezik shalim v'ala gadish mishal chatsi nezik man chayev balakelev. Why not the balakelev? Bishishimega chalto. Ike shishimega chalto. My boy kelevata. Bishachatar. Over of Mori, Breder of Kahana. Zot amert stam dlatot chaturote. Eitzel kelev. Okay, dark lahecha, ilem dark la begadish the alma. I thought be inam biu bisteacher valeka. Lo tzricha deachlua begadish the balach harara. If shot the people are kachatra nizik dami, di kachatra mazik dami. Lema le my boy rift chabapuma de cowboy. Di boylo. Pipora kachatra nizik dami kachatra mazik dami. Viam kachatra mazik dami. Shein dechiev rachman echemashkakaslo. Amri mori brother of Kanak. Gonchinit kachacha bekote la nata. Or tinfa perot la nata. Matikvala mazura. That can't be the main model because of inaka sheyev aragalal atumo veleka. Ravina amra the shaft salmi of the Mona Lisa. Ravashi amra the pasi pisui. Tashma. Shisabo et akelev. Shisabo et anachash. Patur. Man patur. Mishaset patur. But chai bala kelev. V'yamber kekotra mazik tovi. Lei malei. My boy yotcha bapumi de cowboy. Ema patur. Af mishaset. V'yboy tema da af kele nivei besarte. Tashma. Hishik pot anachash rabbi yura mechayev. V'chachamim potrim. V'yamber vachar ba Yaakov kishetim tzoloma. L'divir Rabbi Yehuda Eretz Nachash Ben Jinnah, v'omei, l'fichach ha-makish b'sayef v'nokash patur, l'divir Chachamim, Eretz Nachash me'atzmu me'ki, לפיכך נחש בסקילה ומקיש פטור ואי אמרת פי פרה כחצרה מעסיק תמי למלא מי בו יותך בפומד חיווי לעניין קטנה לא אמרינה ומינות תמר דתניה נכנס לחוצר בעל הבית שלא ברשות ונקחו שלוש בעל הבית ומת The shore is biskila, but the balim repetur him in a kofar. Why? Balim repetur him in a kofar, my time. The Omar Alei, what was he doing? What are you doing here? Bershutte my ba'ita. Why can't the shore say the same thing? Lame Alei, my ba'ita bershutte. Ella clearly leaning k'tola lo amrinan. Hanu easy to be tarbat avim av stelur of Yosef. Omar Alei la'abaye, zil imalu l'morayu, don't let it into inu. Omar Alei, am I aizil? What? The Kabel Zuzicha.